Good evening, and welcome to the Tao of June, living an inspired life. I am driving home from my Toastmasters meeting. I gave my fourth speech, but it's my first speech on level two. I'm level two now, baby. I'm not level one no more. I'm not a white belt no more. Anyways, let me settle down here. Excited because, oh man, the adrenaline rush, the nervousness, the anxiety of getting up in front of an audience and speaking. It is much easier though because, you know, it's such a supportive group there. A room full of people who are genuinely warm and kind and supportive, and they're all there trying to become better communicators and better speakers themselves. And it really just feels so good to have a safe place to go to practice my public speaking skills. But tonight I gave a speech called Work Your Land, because the objective of the speech tonight was to talk about my leadership style. And I opened up with a little bit of self-deprecation, and the feedback that I got was, that's not necessary, you know, I don't need to do that. And I really think that was great feedback, because it does take up time, like I'm doing now explaining, but I was just explaining that I never really considered myself a leader, and I was never the popular kid. I was actually kind of a loser, so I just never really thought of myself as a leader. And when it came to my leadership style, I was like, I don't have a leadership style. But then I realized, researching the topic of leadership, there's positional leadership, like my fellow Toastmaster John Hathcock told me tonight. There's positional leadership, where people are in positions of leadership and people do what they're told by that person because of the position that they hold, but not because they're inspired to do so or they want to. And then there are leaders who are leaders by example, and they're leaders without a title. And like Robin Sharma talks about, leading without a title. And I realized that's my leadership style, leading by example. That's much more comfortable for me, because I don't really feel comfortable telling people what to do or how to live their life or anything like that. It's like, you do you, and please let me do me, right? I don't like being told what to do. And so I don't like to tell other people what to do either. And the concept that really resonated with me was brought up by Tim Story in one of the interviews I was listening to. And Tim Story is an acclaimed author and speaker. But Tim Story says, work your land. And what that means is, whatever task is given to you, whatever your responsibility is, that's your land, and you have to work it to the best of your ability. So another fellow Toastmaster, Merity, she's the one that gave me the feedback. She brought up a great example tonight while we were talking. She said, the municipal worker, the county employee, whose job it is to go around to the public swimming pools and check the chlorine levels, that's his land. Right? And he has to, that's his land to work to the best of his ability to keep the children and the families who are swimming in those pools, to keep them safe, make sure all the levels are safe and at the proper levels. And if he doesn't take his job seriously, if he doesn't work his land properly to the best of his ability, things can happen. People could get sick, and, you know, the water could get contaminated. And so, no matter what your position is, no matter what your occupation is, even if you're a stay-at-home mother who you're in taking care of your children, that's your land, and you just have to work that to the best of your ability. And he was saying that the reason why it's so difficult to work your land is because it's hard to work your land. You know, you have to plow. And you have to plant the right seed, you know, plant good seed and water it, take care of it. And it's hard work. And I shared the story of my grandfather when he came from Korea. And he asked if I wanted to help him, you know, make a garden in the backyard. And I guess there was something lost in translation, because I thought he was talking about a garden, you know, just a little garden. he built a farm back there. You know, it was rows and rows of vegetables and plants and sweet potatoes, and I mean, he went all out. And the thing is, when I, it was during the summer, my summer break, and I just, it was torturous for me. And I mean, I was excited at first, but then, if you ever worked with Georgia clay, I mean, it was just so difficult to break that ground with the shovel and the pickaxe or whatever you call it. And we were just, it was just such hard work. My hands were getting blistered and hurting. I was sweating. I literally thought I was dying. And I started to resent him. I really was upset, and I was thinking, like, he's trying to ruin my life. You know, I'm like 15 years old. I shouldn't be doing this. I mean, I should be playing and having fun and enjoying my summer break. And so I got upset. I remember I threw the tool down, the shovel or whatever it was in my hand. I threw it down. I was like, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. You know, I was like, this is crazy. You know, and so I went inside to stew, you know, to brew in my own self, you know, self-pity and self-loathing, I guess, because I was disappointed in myself a little bit. But then the next day, my grandmother asked me to take a cup of water out to him. And so I take the water out to my grandfather, and he's still working. In fact, he's got a few rows already done, you know, come all the way down the yard. And I was just so impressed and ashamed at the same time. And he didn't say anything to me. He didn't try to give me any kind of inspirational quotes or life lessons. There was nothing that he could have said that would have made that kind of impact on me. No life lesson, no... Nothing he could have said would have moved me as much as his example. He literally led by example, and it was his example of working hard, staying with it, no matter how hard it is, you know, long after the excitement, the thrill of the idea is worn off, long after that, and when it gets hard, when your body's hurting and you want to stop and it's hot, to continue on and to keep at it and continue to put your best foot forward, to put everything you have into the work that you're doing until the task is complete. That his example inspired me, and I told myself, this guy's like 70 years old, he's doing it, you know, I'm young, I should be able to do it too. So I stuck it out with him for the rest of the summer, and I remember that when we were looking at the garden, I think it was during the fall, I think maybe during Thanksgiving, that break I had. I remember we were looking out at the garden, the farm, the mini farm that he made, and he told me, no matter how hard it gets, and I guess he knew that once the work was done and we were enjoying the fruits of his labor, that was when he could give me the life lesson, right? And so he told me, no matter how hard the work gets, even though it seems like it'll never end, it always has an end. He was like, you just have to keep working. Don't give up. And keep working as hard as you can until the work is done. And if you do that, then one day you'll look up and you'll have a beautiful garden, you know, you'll be able to enjoy the fruits of your labor if you just don't give up. And it really touched me, it really moved me, and it stuck with me for all these years. And I shared that story tonight, you know, as an example of how I learned from my grandfather to lead by example, not by conviction, right? It doesn't matter what you believe, and it doesn't matter how many, you know, great, eloquent stories and quotes you have. It's your example. It's by doing the work. That's what really inspires people, I think. It inspired me. And we all have our own land. We all have our equal opportunity called life. And problems come Because every problem that we face, every challenge that life throws at us, is actually an opportunity to do something with it, to try to grow and stretch. And I really like this story of a preacher who's driving down a country road. He's passing by several farms, and one farm in particular was just breathtaking. It was just so beautiful, beautifully landscaped, the trees, everything. So much so, it was so remarkable that the pastor he saw the farmer on the tractor and he stopped him. And he said, "My good man, God certainly has blessed you with a beautiful farm." And the farmer looks at him for a moment. He thinks to himself and he says, "Yes, he has. And I'm grateful. But you should have seen this place when God had it all to himself." And I love that, because the farmer knew that, yes, I have been blessed with this opportunity, with this land. But it's up to me to work it and to make something beautiful out of it. We all have the same opportunity. We all have this land. Of course, we have our problems too. Hardships come. We all have our difficulties. We all have things that we have to suffer through. But Jim Rohn says, learn to hide your need and offer the soil your seed. Because the soil says, don't bring me your need. Bring me your seed. Bring me your talents, your gifts, your talents, your unique abilities that you have to offer the world. That's what you bring to the soil. You know, you don't bring the soil your needs. The man goes out there and says, "I really need to reap." Well, then you really need to sow, is what Jim Rohn would say. And Les Brown says it even better. He says, don't share your problems with people, because 80% don't care and 20% are glad it's you. So, rather than looking at your difficulties and thinking of all the reasons why it's so hard and why, you know, oh, just it's never going to end, it's so tedious, everybody deals with that. We all have that same opportunity to do something with it, to make something beautiful out of it. And I'd like to share one last story of why it's so important to work your land and what could happen when you neglect to work your own land and you go off somewhere else to try to find fame and fortune or whatever it is you think you want, trying to find it somewhere else other than the land that you've been given, the life and the opportunities you've been given. The story is by Russell Conwell. He was a minister, a Baptist minister, and this story, it is a parable that he heard back in 1870s while he was traveling. And this parable is called Acres of Diamonds. I really like this story. So the story is about a farmer in Africa, and he's hearing about all these people who are finding diamonds and they're becoming rich and famous, and you know, like they're becoming millionaires, you know, by finding all these diamonds. And so he decides that's what he's gonna do. So he sells his farm for next to nothing, and he starts to travel around exploring, looking for diamonds so he can find his fortune. And after traveling to Pakistan, to Europe, to all these different countries and just looking for diamonds, he finally ends up broke, in poor health, and just depressed, and he throws himself into the ocean and drowns. At the same time, the person who bought his farm while working the land one day found a stone, an unusual looking stone, and after you know, cleaning it off and having it inspected and appraised, you know, by jewelers, they found out that this was a very special diamond. It was precious, a very rare form of, you know, diamond. And it turned out that the whole farm was littered with them. And he was literally sitting on one of the biggest diamond mines in Africa. It was on that farm the whole time. The farmer, the reason why his life turned out the way it did, I believe, is because he didn't take the time to learn about diamonds, about how a diamond looks in its raw, rough, natural state. And he didn't take the time to explore his own land, to inspect his own land and work his own land. He wanted to go elsewhere and try to find it somewhere else. And he lost everything, lost his own life. You know, but the next farmer who bought that land, just by working his own land, stumbled onto a fortune. And I think all of us, right now, we're standing in the middle of our own diamond field, of our own farm, our own land. And you have to believe in the opportunities that you have. You have to believe in your in the gifts and the talents and the unique ability that you have, what you're really capable of, the greatness that's inside of you. Look within. Don't look outside of yourself and see, you know, allow what others are doing to affect you, what others may have that you think that you don't have. You know, really just focus on your own land and work your own land and be grateful for the opportunity that you've been given with whatever your land is. Like Tim Story said, whatever your land is, work your land. I hope this inspires you. I hope it made sense. And it really, it for me, that's, I feel like the reason why I do these podcasts, the reason why I write blogs or write my books on grooming, make the videos that I make, the reason why I'm so proud to be a dog groomer, not just any dog groomer, I'm June the groomer. But yeah, the reason why I feel so inspired and motivated to do this each day is because I realize this is my land. And I want to work it to the best of my ability, serve my clients to the best of my ability every single day, pour my heart into it, leave it all out there, knowing that I poured it on, I gave it my all every single day, because this is my land. And I learned that from my grandfather. And I am so grateful for that lesson that he gave me. Not by saying anything. Not in a word. He didn't say a word to me. It was his example that really inspired me. So let us be an example to others by working our own land. I honor the light in you that is also in me. Namaste.